Ladies and gentlemen, brought to you by Time and Place, live from Salt Lake City, Utah.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Sideshow Garden Podcast.
Ladies and gentlemen, you are all very welcome to the Sideshow live from Salt Lake City. Brought to you by Time and Place, as noted by our very esteemed intro MC, Master of Ceremonies, the very wonderful Chris Hollifield from the I Am Salt Lake podcast. Chris, how are you, my good man?
Doing great.
Yeah, you've got that kind of voice back home where I can see you getting fan mail from Ireland. The ladies would fall in love with that beard.
You should see my mailbox. It's full of fan mail from...
So when you're listening, is Chrissy here? Is she here?
She's not here tonight.
Okay, so you can say whatever you want and she will never hear it.
She'll probably listen to the podcast though.
Okay, fair enough. We'll get to that in a little bit. For those of you not aware, I should add that when you listen back, and if you have a moment, don't press the middle button on your iPhone just yet, but there's an episode in there with Melinda Maservi of Time and Place. And on the final 3 minutes of that, with Chris's permission, I pulled part of his podcast, and his sponsor is, I shouldn't be mentioning your sponsor on somebody else's show, which is essentially mine, but at the same token, yours is sponsored by Jed's Barbershop and Olio Skin Products. But there's a line in it that I took, which was Chrissy saying, and I use Olio Skin Products because it makes my skin baby butt smooth. And I was cutting the grass at home. Listen to this. I live in North County Dublin, a wee town called Ballybohol. We have, you know, quite a small population. It's barley fields, far side of the road, very beautiful place. I nearly drove into a tree when I was laughing so much. It was so funny. But thanks, Chris. It's great to have you here. I should also add, we have our in-house band, Rusted Reel. Rusted Reel, kick it off, lads. Give us a go. That's Rusted Reel, ladies and gentlemen. They're our in-house band. Thanks very much, lads, for coming along. On today's show, however, we do have a fine lady and a very fine gentleman. I did refer to Robert Mark, who's to my right-hand side, that John Travolta had just walked into the room when he came in earlier on. So it's a funny thing when you're married to a man who's working in the garden trade, or he's been involved in it, essentially. Maybe not if you're Zaneda, but in the case of the gentleman, and in this case, people who work in the greater great outdoors, what you find is that they usually come in looking like a sack of potatoes. And then when you go out that evening, you have the clean shave, you put on the suit. And in your case, you put on the boots and you put on the jacket. You're now in the Sideshow t-shirt, which is slightly unusual for me to see. But also to his left-hand side is Anne Torrance. And Anne and Robert run Stray Aran Ranch. Did I get that correct?
Stray. Yeah,
well, that's what I said. I said Stray.
Stray Arrow.
Stray Arrow. Right. Yeah. Stray Arrow. I was close. I was a little bit out. Close. Technical. It was a clerical error. Yeah. Somebody wrote this down for me and I just read what was written. His name was Peter. He looks very like me. It's my fault, essentially, but I'm never going to admit to it. So explain to me what Stray Arrow Ranch is.
Stray Arrow Ranch is 6 acres in Torrey, Utah, which is on the edge of the Colorado Plateau. It's our home. And a place where we grow 500 apple trees devoted to making hard cider. And we will shortly be opening Utah's first orchard-based cider-making operation.
Okay, this is the point at which Nate Zango has now lost the marriage proposal from the previous episode. And I'm writing a love letter to Anne, and Robert will probably, a tree might fall, you know, gravity, these things happen, you know, as an act of God, and me and Anne are going to run off into the sunset. And,
I thought you said I look like your sister.
Hey, my sister's a good looking, no, let's not, this is going to a very different place, and I'm only joking. Your husband's beside me, and he's very sharp, he's better dressed than I am, I've already been shown up, this is never going to happen. How long are you at the apple business? Did it always start at what it is now? How did it become, how did it evolve into this?
The trees have been in the ground, the earliest ones we planted have been in the ground 5 winters. Getting hard cider apple trees in America is non-trivial, and most of them were custom grafted. That took 2 years for us to get them.
So you say, well, we'll get into grafting in a little bit, and just for a second, but let's stick with the, well, let's stick with the cider, essentially. No, I'm joking. Let's go to the, you said five winters, so I will, in horticultural terms, it's how many seasons you've done. You've only done three summers, is the way we'd say it back home. In your case, you go through the winter side, but I gather we're kind of on par. So what did you two do before you actually did that?
Well, there are a couple of stories here that are really important. One is that we're just average backyard gardeners. So that's our experience in horticulture, no formal training. And Anne was a traveling photographer and author, and I was a university scientist. And we were out on the road one day, and as things happened, we ended up in a place called Torrey, Utah. And it is physically one of the most beautiful places I've ever been. And as we drove away, I said to myself, if I don't try to live here, I will probably regret it for the rest of my life. So we ended up eventually getting property down there. And in the West, with property, sometimes comes the rights to have water, because water doesn't come from the sky in the West. It comes from rivers. We are in what's called a high desert.
Okay, let me just clarify that, because there are people back home in Ireland who are saying water doesn't come from the West. Now, if you've ever been to the edge of Galway and you've never seen rain come in, and I don't mean rain, I mean somebody picking up an entire bathtub, turning it on top of you and letting it go for non-stop. I mean, even, where was I? I was in the wonderful island of Inishmore, and we had to change the route for the half marathon that I do for, I don't want to make myself all saintly here, but essentially I've got a donation page there somewhere for those of you listening. And if you want to go and send me a note at Sideshow on Twitter, facebook.com/TheSideshow, and I'll send it on to you. But this year in particular was 2010-11. We'd had, I believe, I'm open to correction and I will be corrected, but the road at the edge of the island fell off, which is one of the most unusual statements I've ever heard in my life, but it literally did fall off. That's the west of Ireland. So you, where we get lots, and I mean quite a lot of rain, which essentially gives us that green rolling hills that, and that shamrock and that rustic, I guess, mystic kind of a feel to a country that sometimes maybe we take a little bit for granted. Are you at the opposite level?
Yeah, we get about 12 inches of moisture a year. More than half of that falls in snow. And the air is so dry that most of that evaporates before it melts into the ground.
Right. So when you say you get your water, or the rights to water, have I got that correct?
Yeah, you get a water right, and the rights are sequential. So the town that's downstream of us established their water rights 3 years earlier than our town. And so if water runs short, we didn't get enough snow in the very high mountains, they get the water and we get none. And so we get 12, the rights that we own give us 12 hours of water every 10 and a half days.
But that is slightly, in Ireland, we think we had it once where, and I'm taking it in the mic here, but we had it once where it went over 32 degrees Celsius. Like, it was like a national crisis. We had to call in like the army to help us out. You know, we couldn't cope with it. You know, they ran out of sunscreen. In your case, it's quite severe. How do you work a business where, and I'm asking a question that I understand the answer to, but how do you work a business where you have no control over one of the most important things ever acquired for the growing of plants, which is essentially water?
You get very good with a shovel. You make the water move where you want it to. And actually, you do have control. You have very precise control over the water that you do have. So your trees get water when you want them to have water. So this provides a really different environment for apple trees. And whether one likes it or not, it kind of helps to abuse your little trees and make them stressed. They make more interesting apples.
Okay, well, the one thing I know about back home is that when you take an apple and you see cracking on it and you get wasps, or at least this is how it happens in Ireland, you get a cracking on the fruit, you get a wasp comes into the fruit. That happens because you give it extremes of water. You make it bone dry, and then you make it extremely wet. Do you have those issues? Is that what you call interesting?
Oh, We're in between. We can make sure that the apple's a little bit dry at the end of the season before harvest so okay. that we don't get water core. We get some concentration of flavors. And apples, so there really is an issue of terroir. And apples do more interesting things in high desert environments when it's really hot in the summer, a little bit dry, and then they get plenty of water deep on their roots. So okay. it's really like growing high-quality French grapes. We have a really interesting environment to make great apples.
Does that have an effect, and this sounds a little bit silly, but in Guinness, again, something we take for granted, but it's a fine example where you taste it year one, you taste it year two, you taste it year three. It's, you know, there's a consistency there, even though it's grown from, let's say, barley and hops, and that's absolutely fine. But in your case, it's done in a slightly different way. You're almost like a wine, and you'll hear wine merchants and my dad saying, you know, that wasn't a good year for that, but that was a better year, and that was a better year. Do you get that with cider, or will you get that when you do the cider thing?
You know, there's not enough cider made in the United States to quench the thirst for cider, so we don't really know that about individual ciders yet in the United States. But we know about apples. There's a great apple that actually shows up in the Torrey area a lot. It's called a winter banana. And this is an apple that actually has an amyl acetate flavor like a banana in certain years, not every year.
Okay, sorry, hold on a second. Backtrack, because we've just hit Zaneda's land again, which is these long words that...
That we have an apple known as the winter banana.
No, I know what a banana is. Like, I'm not dark.
Oh, you mean the amyl acetate, which is actually the banana scent. It's the molecule that gives banana its scent.
Okay.
And apples will make some of these. So the second quick story I have to tell is we moved down there, we built our little house, and we ended up in Capitol Reef National Park, which has one of the oldest pioneer orchards in the state. And I despise the apple known as Golden Delicious.
You despise it?
Yes. It's an insipid, watery apple.
All right. Golden Delicious and Granny Smith, for those of you unaware who were never born in 1980s Ireland, that and the cheese single in between two slices of bread was the staple diet for every single Irishman going to school without a lunchbox. You put it into a plastic bag, it went in with your books, it got squished, it got a little bit wet, made the sandwiches wet, deal with it. Other than that, you didn't eat. Let's take a break from that for just a second. Chris, we've got some good events coming up on Sunday, don't we?
Sunday, yeah, we got a day full of awesome events here. Let's see, it looks like at 2:30, planning and planting a kitchen garden. That's with Peter Donegan.
That is with me. Actually, I think the first one of them is sold out, just as a by the way, but there is another one on the board.
And then from 2:45 to 3:45 is plants. Do that with Paul Twigg. And 4 to 5:30, container planting with Peter Donegan of The Sod Show.
He's a very good-looking fellow, I hear, Chris.
He is.
Yeah, I know. Face for radio.
And then 6 to 8 o'clock... Event closing, farewell and thanks to Peter and Gabe.
Well, that's me. You should all come to the farewell and closing, because all I know is Melinda organized it that my flight was at about 4 o'clock leaving Salt Lake City. And I gather there was a little bit of logic thinking in that, which I can't say over the airwaves. But, you know, when you try and get up the next morning or actually don't get to go to bed that morning, that seems to be the gist of it. I have no idea where we are going. Oh, we're going? Okay, so we're going to the Republican after for a couple of drinks tonight if you're about this evening. It'd be great to see you there. Can we have 2 minutes of music from our in-house band? Okay, we've got a clerical error there. This is a live show. He's actually trying to blow into the flute, and he's laughing at the same time. For those of you who can't see it down the back, a grown man with long hair trying to blow into a flute and laughing at the same time is one of the funniest things I've ever seen.
Okay, we're back for part two of the Sideshow, and we are live from the Mandate Press with thanks to our very wonderful sponsors. We get to them in just a little bit still. My company is Anne Torrance and Robert Mark from Stray Arrow Ranch. Robert, let's be quite frank about this. You kind of did well for yourself in the lady department. How did that come about? But were you grafting apple trees? And she turned around and said, "This is the man of my dreams. He looks like John Travolta. He's got the boots. He's got the jacket on. If I don't marry him, my life's going to be one of big regret." Was that the way it worked out?
Oh, she better answer this.
Dead air.
We're still dead live. For those of you listening at home, what you can't see is Anne is actually thinking of the right answer to give live over the microphone.
Now, we met in Texas, in Houston, and I had gone there with a different cowboy changed horses in Texas. And I looked at him one day, and I said, "Darling," in my very best Texas accent, because I grew up in California, I said, "Darling, I love you, but get me the hell out of here."
is this real?
This is real.
Okay, right, fair enough.
And what Robert does, it's a very specialized field, and most universities don't have a need for one of his kind.
What's that?
Retinal anatomy.
Okay, what's that?
He'll have to explain it to you. But in any case, there are about five places you can go. It's kind of like being a Major League Baseball player, or in your case, a footy player. And he got the call from the University of Utah, and we came here almost 25 years ago and lived in Salt Lake. And then I started working on this book about 10 years ago, which, by the way, I brought you a copy of my book. And ended up driving all over the western United States, and none of those places were deemed suitable by Robert for us to live in. And we were in Torrey a half an hour, and he said, "This is the place."
So when you both turned around, and thank you for the book, by the way, it's very beautiful. Can people buy this? Is this for sale?
It was, but you might be able to find some used copies now.
Okay, so it's not...
Yeah,
it's sold out. It's sold out is the line we're on.
We were
we're
just talking today about a second printing, but I don't know if I have it in me right now.
Well,
we're kind of busy.
Well, the cider
is... Watering trees and taking care of critters and...
It's you.
You wouldn't even look at the pictures of my ducks today.
No, I did. Okay, so here's the thing, right? I'm now feel like I'm getting into trouble with my now older sister, okay? Because the marriage proposal has essentially, that's two failed marriage attempts I've had so far within the space of two interviews. You can gather the whole Lucky Irish thing really doesn't work at all. But where was I going with this? I'm after getting distracted now on the whole marriage proposal thing. Oh, yeah. But you both seem to have, like, dumped the job and said, "We're not going to do the thing that we used to do. We're now going to we're going to make cider for a living in this beautiful town in which we live." You've done a whole throw it all up in the air and just
again,
let's go for it. Is that right?
Doing the book was throwing it all up in the air and doing it again. Robert is just about to retire. So for the last 5 years, he's been driving the 200 miles each way once or twice a week to be down there with me, and I'm down there full time. And this summer we were up to 95 miles we were feeding on the ranch, which was a little ridiculous, and we've cut the census back quite a bit over the last 6 months.
So essentially now, soon as, within the next while, you're eventually not going to be 200 miles away from each other.
Right.
Right, okay.
Right.
With a new business, mm-hmm. living in one of the most beautiful places on the planet.
Right.
Okay, let's pause there. Chris, you're the man that I would know as the I Am Salt Lake. That's the way I would call it. How beautiful is Salt Lake for those listening back home?
One of the most beautiful cities ever, or around, most beautiful city I've ever seen.
And to your credit, and this is the way I put it, the way I described it was Ireland is a kind of a country shaped by nature and weather, and it was kind of, you know, let's say, given or gifted to us. And it is beautiful green, even when it's lashing out of heavens, it's... You're either in love with that, so you see it at its worst, what some might call its worst, and it's still, you still love it. When the sun is shining in Ireland, you just love it, that extra little bit special. But the one thing that Salt Lake seems to have, and I said this to you outside, is the people. Have I got that right?
Well, the people here are friendly. They're nice. They're here to help you out, talk to you, I don't know, get to know you. at least the people I know.
Well, let me put it in context. And I said this earlier on, when I was coming through Salt Lake Airport and I got lost looking for the luggage rail, which in hindsight, it's very difficult to get lost in Salt Lake Airport. It's not as big as my first time in Chicago Airport, where I did get lost, let me put it to you that way. Bearing in mind, I've never been to the United States. Pause. The security guy, when I walked the wrong way through the airport, which I thought was, you know, going to get me thrown in the slammer. That's my American word. You know what I mean? You can't cross the line kind of thing. And he was, you know, wish me all the best on my holidays and I hope you have a good time. And that's the level that it's at. We've got some very good people behind the scenes involved in the putting this show together. Who have we got, Chris? We've got a couple of sponsors.
Oh, we got some great sponsors that have helped put this whole thing together. First of all, the Mandate Press, 90.9 KRCL, Bare Bones Living, the Hibernian Society of Utah, the King's English Bookshop in Wasatch Community Gardens.
Thank you, Chris, and thank you all for coming this evening. And we also have, as you heard earlier on, our in-house band, Rusted Steel. And I should also add that Anne and Robert do have some of their trees for sale. Are they here today, Chris?
They're at Time and Place.
Okay, so Time and Place, we'll get to talking about this in just a little minute, but the trees that they have grafted and essentially made, they are for sale at Time and Place if you want to go and pick up some of them. Let's get into that if we can, Robert. First of all, the easiest way to define grafting a tree is where you take, let's say, the top half of an Irishman, you cut them off, and you take the bottom half of a Salt Lake man, and you essentially merge the two together. In its simplest format, I know it's never been described horticulturally as that before, but is that a simple way to describe grafting?
Wow.
That's every woman in my life, Robert. That's every woman in my life says that. But it's, come on.
I think it's a horrific way to describe grafting. So you're just merging different parts of two plants, usually of the same species. Not always. You can sometimes force the top parts of different species of plants to grow on a single stalk. And sometimes we call these Frankenstein plants.
Yeah.
However, apple grafting is really quite simple. It's the oldest form, really, of genetic cloning. It's been around for millennia, and it involves just taking what's called a scion wood, the fruit wood from the top part of the tree, and using the genes from the fruit wood and what's called a rootstock as the roots, and then creating a wound in both of them and forcing the cells from the wound in the top part and the bottom part to interdigitate and then slowly form new wood. And so that graft point or that graft union is going to hold the two parts together and support vascular transport from the roots to the leaves and the leaves to the roots.
Okay, here's the thing. Why would anybody, and this, I'm obviously on your side, I've got the horticultural side, I know what the answer kind of is in this, but why would anybody bother? My dad's answer to this would be, just take a tree and put it in the ground. Why do you want to chop it in half and stick something else to the top of it and stick it back in the ground again?
Yeah, there are two quick answers to that. One is that apple trees in particular don't come true from seed because they're not self-fertile. They have to be pollinated by another tree, which is often a different set of genes. So the seeds will have mixed genes relative to the plant that you're working with. But the other issue that was discovered is that different rootstocks grow in different environments, cold deserts, wet sea level environments, warm environments, wind environments. So you can choose the rootstock to maximize the growth of the top part.
Okay. Now, what have you got that is in Time and Place Salt Lake City that is grafted?
We have six apples that are Five apples that are, I just got slapped on the shoulder and corrected.
Okay. You're going to get
five apples.
Sorry, Robert, you're going to get another slap after this interview for telling everybody over the airwaves exactly what just happened.
Okay. We have some great British apples, Cox's Orange, Pippin. We have Golden Russet. We have Esopus Spitzenberg, which is reportedly Thomas Jefferson's favorite apple. And this apple is still being grown at Monticello right now. And then we have a couple of more modern apples as well.
Okay, just to wrap up, if people want to maybe of the future get a taste of the cider, go and visit where you are, go and find out a little bit more about you. Have you got the online side of thing? Are you in that? Can people check you out there?
Yes, strayarrowranch.com. There's a website, there's Facebook, there's everything.
And will we be able to go? So let's say, hypothetically speaking, you know, I could be easily coerced, should I return to Salt Lake next year to maybe be wooed by this beautiful apple cider? I mean, I'd travel for it. I mean, I was at a marriage proposal there at one point in time. Yeah. It's gone, you know, but we can hang out.
We'll talk later, but next year there should be cider.
Next year there's going to be cider. So people essentially go to the website and we'll get it all there.
Yeah, we'll have a tasting room and a tour experience and maybe photographs in the orchard during apple blossom season, which is late. We only have 120 days between frosts and our trees don't bloom until the end of April.
Okay, ladies and gentlemen, with thanks to Time and Place Salt Lake City, that was Ann Torrance and Robert Mark from Stray Arrow Ranch. They've been absolutely wonderful. Give them a round of applause and we'll play you out with our in-house band, Rusted Steel. Take it away, lads.